leading off with the big story of the day. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Dima.
Drives it towards left field. Going back, Winker to the wall. It is out of here. Touch of all time for Garrett Hampson. Number four for the Hampinator.
Paso for three. Got it. Uno, dos, tres. Para Baku.
Wide strikes. Here's an opportunity. Still looking for his first. We bring it. Score! Tyson Jost. His second goal of the game. His second goal of the period. And that is going to do it. For the first time in 20 years, the Colorado Avalanche have won the President's Trophy.
Bears be walking in the crib and everything.
What is going on?
What's up?
What is up?
What's up, Drew?
How are we?
How are we?
You know. Tell me, buddy. How are you?
What's up?
What's up, bro?
Jerry, Judy, baby, let's go.
What a night last night, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. That was a fantastic night last night. Goodness gracious, is it awesome that the Colorado Avalanche have won the President's Trophy? They clearly are a whole lot smarter than I am. Coach Bednar, I challenged you. I called you a dumb for not playing Grubauer. And boy, did you show what I know. So, yes. Congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche. Hey, it's sincere congratulations to the Colorado Rockies for not blowing a 10-0 lead.
Yeah.
Seriously, congratulations. And the Nuggets. Hey, man.
It's just what they do.
Unbelievable.
They don't even
Nuggets
try.
Are the Nuggets. I love it.
Right. Doesn't matter.
Good night apparently. Last night.
Yeah, great night. And that President's Trophy, and we're trying to think of non-controversial presidents to compare it to.
Right.
We came up, I believe, Richie, with the president with a mullet. And was that?
Oh,
James,
who was that?
James Polk, I believe, was the president with the mullet.
Oh, definitely best president indeed. Of all time.
Did we get that right? He had the mullet, right? Polk.
Yeah, let me look up a picture. But I do that vaguely sounds right.
All right. We were getting Millard Fillmore.
I think John Adams had a little bit of a mullet
Adams,
as well.
John Adams, huh?
Yeah.
Polk had he might have even had a little rat tail with his mullet. Polk was ahead of his time. But way to go, Avalanche. You are the President's Trophy winners. And it wasn't even close. They killed them again. It was funny in our little group text. You're like, oh, man.
Dummies.
You're trying to save some face when he gave up one goal.
Right. Well, they were up by like five goals at that point. That was not saving face. That was mocking each other.
So, yeah, you were wrong on that one, I guess.
Yes.
Bednar's knows his team better than you.
He knows his team. Good for him. Knew exactly what he needed to do. I still would have played my best guys, but that was just me. So he didn't need to and clearly made the right decision. So good for him.
My arch nemesis, Evans, was leaving me alone and kind of ripping you and Merrill for questioning it this morning.
Oh, is that right? I made it into the morning show?
You did.
Oh, my gosh.
You and James got lumped in together.
You know what? See, but unlike you, I'm not going to let it get to my head. I'm not going to let it affect the rest of my show. See, they can call me out, and I'll just let it go in one ear, out the other, and I won't even address them.
That's good.
That's how I handle it, just to pretend they don't exist.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I don't need a 15-minute diatribe.
I don't either.
Oh, you don't?
Well, not today. Not today. No, I'm still riding off the high of D-Mac, A Relentless Life Pursuing Quarterbacks has made the front page of DenverFan.com.
Yes.
You know,
that was a big accomplishment for you, I know.
Yep, Chapter 2 does drop on Monday. And the title of Chapter 2, Richie, again?
How the Fifth-Year Option Tamed the Wild West.
How about that?
I'd say that's an intriguing title.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so that drops on Monday, but you can find it at DenverFan.com and all sorts of great stuff up there. We got Kendall Valenzuela, who was out at rookie practice today. We have Vic Fangio talking about airline pilots and the rookies. Not airline pilots, fighter jets pilots. I, you know, don't want to make it too common for Coach Fangio.
Don't mix up the sports cliches.
No. I won't do that. But, man, it was just awesome. Just an awesome night last night. However, we start today. Man, this just happened. We got this news just before the show.
Lock to throw. Over the middle, and he's got his name, Hamilton. And Hamilton to the end zone for the touchdown.
Deshaun Hamilton, who was dropped by the Broncos yesterday, has torn his ACL in a, I guess just some other workout.
Okay, hold on. Quick point of clarification. That is devastating news, and I feel bad for him. Has he officially been dropped? Because as of this morning, he was still on the team, and they were trying to trade him.
You are right.
It doesn't really matter, because regardless, it was not at the facility. So even if he is on the team, it's not covered. The injury is going to be the exact same situation as Juwan James.
Oh,
he won't get his
point.
Money.
Well, how about this, though? I'm reading Kliss 5 minutes ago. Multiple sources say Broncos and another team had been working on a trade involving Deshaun Hamilton in the past 24 hours.
So he is still a member of the Denver Broncos at the moment.
And he received the injury this morning. Oh, wow. Good point. Right. Well, I wonder what difference that will make, if any.
Well, it doesn't make much of a difference, because either way, he's not going to get his money. It's, what does it do now?
Well, hold on. Let me back up a second. There wasn't anything scheduled for the players to be at the facility today.
Oh my gosh, do you not understand everything that we've been going through with Juwan James? Have you not been listening to everything I've been saying about if we get hurt during the offseason?
No, but wasn't that just when there are other events scheduled?
No.
It's got nothing to do with
nothing. Oh my gosh, I've been telling you for 2 weeks now that if you end the season and week 16 is over, week 17 is over, and you're waiting until OTAs, if you get hurt at home, you're on your own. That is not covered. So anytime you get hurt when you are not at the team's facility, you are not covered.
Okay. I thought it had to do with the staying away with the OTAs.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
So hold on a second. Okay. Oh, all right. I misinterpreted that then. I thought it had to do, like, if you get hurt when you could have been at the facility.
Nope.
So at any time.
No. I mean, that's been the whole point of this entire negotiation, actually, is that players, they hate the fact that when the regular season ends, we're expected to work out. Mm-hmm. And we're not at the facility. It's in between the regular season and OTA. So regardless of a boycott, it's that period in between the Super Bowl and OTAs, and you're expected to be working out. If you tear your ACL on your own, you are not covered. So right now, Deshaun Hamilton is not covered. It did not happen at the team facility.
But he's still a member of the Broncos, but that might not matter.
Correct. Yes.
Well, it certainly would probably squash any kind of potential deal that was going on.
Oh, yeah. Any sort of trade bait, that conversation is over.
Oh,
but what this can do for the Broncos is that now they can put him on the IR and they could stash him for another year and they can make their decision in a year's time. So there's no rush to get rid of him at this point.
Interesting.
So not on the IR. So you put him on the non-football related injury list. So the NFI, you don't have to pay him, but you hold on to his rights. Mm-hmm. So in a year's time, if for whatever reason, if you had a handful of injuries at the wide receiver spot, you can bring him back.
Unless you come to some sort of settlement deal and he's gone.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. Well, we'll see what happens then.
So bummer for him, though, man.
Well, hold on. Well, oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it would bummer for him, especially if he was going to be traded, not just released. I mean, that means another team did want him. Okay, all right, I get it. Although, man, this is... Well, we'll see what they do.
Now, this will be fascinating because the team has got a little bit of an internal battle going on with Juwan James. They've got a reason to not want to pay him. Number one, Deshaun Hamilton's not making a whole lot of money. I don't know what it is, but I'm guessing. Actually, you know what? What year is he in? He might be making like $2 million.
Yeah.
So the team, they could pay him if they want to, but they do not have to. They're not obligated
to. Wasn't he part of that epic 2018 draft that only has three players left?
That feels right. Yes.
Remember how everybody thought that was like the greatest draft in the world? Do you guys recall that? Let's see. He was part of the 2018 draft.
You're talking about Bradley Chubb and Cortland Sutton?
Yep. Cortland Sutton, Bradley Chubb. Okay. All right. Royce Freeman.
Okay.
Irrelevant now. Isaac Yiadom, gone. Josie Jewell, sort of starter. Deshaun Hamilton, they're trying to get rid of. Troy Fumagalli, is he still on the team?
He was last year. I don't know if he is at this exact moment.
Sam Jones, forks up, not here. Kayshon Bieria, gone. David Williams, instead of Philip Lindsay. Yeah, not quite the draft they got hyped up to be.
That was a halfway decent draft. Yeah, hold on. Dude, you got Bradley Chubb. You got Cortland Sutton.
You're forgetting the hype of that draft from all the experts and the grades and all, you know, the.
All right.
I'm telling you.
Well, shoot. You got a handful of pretty good players out of that draft.
Yeah, you got some good players. You didn't get a quarterback when you should have.
See, that's what it comes down to.
Well,
that's what you meant by it. Now I get it.
I can't imagine a better example of why I say this draft right now is an F. If you get Aaron Rodgers, it's an A.
Sure.
Just like 2018. I mean, will you want to grade this draft now?
No, I'm just basing it off. We got good football players or not. I'm not having the Josh Allen conversation right now.
Let's not have it. Let's grade this draft.
Okay,
here we are 3 years later. This is the time that you see how everything shakes out.
Okay, fair
enough.
Probably
a fair amount of time to see what's what.
Yep.
You want to go through it? I mean,
sure,
Bradley Chubb, what would you give him?
I'd give that a B+.
You're making me say you got to.
Don't consider the quarterback right now.
How do you avoid that?
Easily, because I'm just basing it on how the guys have played football.
Oh, okay. So you're not putting it in comparison to who they could
have
had.
I'm not. I understand your point on the quarterback. Well, it's going to be an F if you want to do the quarterback. What's the point of even going through it?
Well, that's an F.
I know. So what's the point of even going through it?
Cortland Sutton's an A. I would give Cortland Sutton an A.
Okay.
I give Bradley Chubb an F because of who they could have had.
Bradley Chubb's an F.
Royce Freeman.
So a Pro Bowl player is an F.
Yes, because you could have had Josh Allen.
Oh, come on.
Well, okay. Either we do it that way or we don't.
Well, we don't. You can do whatever you want. I can give my grade. You can give your grade.
That's totally fine. The impact of Bradley Chubb compared to Josh Allen is an F to an A.
Sure. Right. Nobody's debating that.
Cortland Sutton's an A.
I don't have Josh Allen on my team, so I'm gonna grade Bradley Chubb based off how he's played.
Royce Freeman is a F. Isaac Yiadom's an F. Josie Jewell's a C. Deshaun Hamilton's an F. Troy Fumagalli.
Hold on, what round was Josie Jewell?
Fourth round.
I'd give that a B.
Okay.
Based off of where you selected him, not based off like how he plays. You got to put it in relation to where you got him.
I'd give it a C. He's very, 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 very lucky over the past 2 years that they have not selected someone that should.
Oh yeah, but wouldn't you say that would be true about any fourth rounder? So I'm not basing it on how he is as a starter. I'm basing it off of where you selected him.
Fair point. C+. All right. Under that, Deshaun Hamilton's a C. He played some as a fourth rounder. You got something out of him. Fumagalli, fifth round. All right, I'll give him a C-. Sam Jones is...
I don't think anybody else played.
Then the rest of it is, you know, David Williams, you signed to a deal, and then why didn't you draft Philip Lindsay right there at 226? I mean, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't look so great now. If Bradley Chubb was Von Miller, I'd feel differently. He's not. If Bradley Chubb had that kind of impact as a pass rusher, okay, you got me. Who is...
Yeah, but he's the next tier. Like, I would think you would admit that. So you've got your elite pass rushers, and then you've got whatever's right underneath the elite pass rushers, and Bradley Chubb would be in that category.
All right, so elite pass rushers is Von Miller. What you can
well,
name.
Von's no longer elite, but yeah.
But as a draft pick
sure.
And a player, there's no doubt Von Miller was elite.
For sure.
Elite, elite.
Yes.
What would you call the category underneath elite?
Really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
So Bradley Chubb is a really good pass rusher.
Yes.
He was really good last year.
Yes, he was a Pro Bowler last year.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the Pro Bowl. Right. Sorry, my bad. Okay. I'm laughing because, I mean, what do we want to look at his numbers? Do we want to look at the impact Bradley Chubb had on games?
I think he had about 8 sacks.
Do we want to go through that?
I think he had about 8 sacks. That's a really good pass rusher.
Right, that's your 2018 draft.
It's not elite.
Let me put it out there to you. What do you think? You think this year's draft will be better in 3 years than this draft was as it shapes up now?
Oh, there's a good one. Cortland Sutton is an absolute star. Bradley Chubb is close to being a star, in my opinion. So can we get two guys in this year's draft that are the equivalent of those two guys? That's going to be tough.
There you go. Is Pat Surtain and Javonte Williams in 3 years going to have the same impact in the NFL as Cortland Sutton and Bradley Chubb?
I hope that Pat Surtain has a better impact than Bradley Chubb.
Do I think
that Javonte Williams will have the same impact as Cortland Sutton in the second round? That's asking a lot. He could. But if I had to guess today, probably not.
All right, let's get through some of this audio from today. All right, start with Fangio. What do you plans to do with Sertan, inside or outside?
Both, just like you said. Because as you guys know, you've heard me say many times, you know, there's 5 and 6 DBs on the field a lot in the NFL anymore, and we're no different than many of the other teams. So, I mean, if he's capable of having some position flexibility, it helps us get our so-called best players on the field at the same time. So, we need corners that can play inside. And he's had some experience doing that in college. I think he's probably capable of it. We'll never know for sure until we put him in there. But he's definitely a guy that we want to teach the inside positions at some point quickly.
I think he's going to be a great player.
But I'm sure he will.
Pat Surtain was asked by Jeff Legwald, which I thought was a great question, about have you heard all the noise about, you know, it should have been Fields instead of you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought it was cool. Like, you like just went, I thought that was the most obvious question, but still, it's, you know, a little bit of a, hey, you know, what do you think about that? And here's what Surtain said.
Oh, yeah, I heard it before, but, you know, I try to cancel all that noise. I just got to go out there and compete and make them think wrong.
I guess that does happen to first-round guys. Inevitably, if there's any form of controversy, you're kind of linked to that person for the rest of your career when you have nothing to do with them.
Yeah, to the outside, but do you think for 1 second Bradley Chubb is comparing himself to Josh Allen? Heck no. Of course he's not. He's comparing himself to Von Miller. He's comparing himself to his peers. So for the outside, sure, they will have that conversation. But Pat Surtain will never once for the rest of his career think about his comparison as Justin Fields. Never once.
Right.
He'll think about the best corners in the NFL.
So it's just ding-dongs like me that will make that comparison for the rest of his career. That's like,
the guys on the outside.
Okay, so there'll be outside talk about it, but
of course
he won't think about it.
Yes, that's right.
So Bradley Chubb,
I can tell you right now, I would almost guarantee that Bradley Chubb has not once compared his career to Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, or any of those quarterbacks. Not once.
But he has to.
But he compares it to Von Miller.
All right, but he has to hear the noise from guys like me for the rest of his career.
Sure.
But that's not a big deal.
No.
You don't care.
No, absolutely not. I compare about comparing myself to my peers, the guys that I'm going up against that play my position.
Not what you could have been to the fan base.
No. Definitely not.
So that's just safe for us and, you know, our pals.
That's what we will do. You and I will have that conversation for the next 5 years.
But the players don't care.
We will compare, but we really won't ever compare Justin Fields and Pat Surtain. We will compare Justin Fields and Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater.
I guess we don't compare the players because they play different positions.
Correct.
We'll compare the decision. Like, you know, the
organization. You will for sure.
You won't?
I will not be stuck on it the way that you have been stuck on Josh Allen, that's for sure.
Well, you wanted Justin Fields over Pat Surtain.
Yes.
Okay. So that won't stick with you a little? I mean, that's a quarterback over a quarterback.
I will not be losing any sleep over it or writing audiobooks about it in 5 years. No.
All right. And you know what? They get Aaron Rodgers. Neither will I.
There you go.
It won't be a big deal. In fact, just the opposite. It'll be skillful and amazing and, you know, I knew it was going to happen. It was in the works for months. I couldn't say anything about it. And that's why we move forward with it. I mean, that's the game George Payton gets to play if they get Aaron Rodgers.
Right. But, I mean, for Pat Surtain, how's he going to get his next contract when it's time for him to get his next contract? You think he's going to be thinking about Justin Fields? You think he's going to be thinking about Mac Jones? No, he's going to be looking at the best corners in the NFL. That's how he's going to get his next contract. That's how he's going to compare himself, and that's how his peers are going to compare him. His peers will never once compare him to Justin Fields. Never. Not once. But they will compare him to the best corners in the NFL.
There was a soundbite that really ticked off Richie that I actually didn't care all that. It didn't strike me one way or the other, but Richie was fired up.
Oh.
From Vic Fangio today. Richie was just like a head of steam and just like,
wow.
It's ridiculous.
Richie had a lot going on today too.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He was swimming.
It's amazing he could even sort of fit this in, his fire and determination on this. But go ahead, cue the music and I'll play it.
We just had about 5 jets from the military, I assume, fly over our field here towards the end of our walkthrough. And they came out all stacked up real close together. They split out, and then impressively, they turned around and came back past the practice field all in single file now. And my first thought when I saw all that was, man, that had to take a lot of practice. And that practice developed a lot of trust between those five pilots, you know, because they were flying close together for a while. So that's what we need to do. We need to have a lot of practice so these guys can trust each other, the guy next to him, the guy next to him, all through the 11 positions on the team. So we need practice, just like those pilots needed it. And there was a fine line there. You know, we could avoid 100% of injuries if we don't practice ever. But I guarantee you'd show up for the game and there'd be a million injuries in the game. So we need the practice, and we're going to be smart with it and move forward.
Yeah, we all cried when Goose went down in flames. That sucks.
Brutal.
Yeah, nobody was happy about that, but Maverick just still had to be Maverick. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Not be Maverick? Iceman? Goose? Sad. But they still got to fly. But, Richie, what's your beef here?
I'm just so tired of it. I'm so tired of the coach speak. He's like, really, Vic? We're going to make these comparisons to fighter pilots. You're going to tell me that Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater are Maverick and Iceman? Give me a break, dude.
Hey, like, Pete Carroll brought the Blue Angels out to speak to us time.
That's fine. That they can speak to you. You don't get to compare yourself to them. You don't get to say, hey, man, we really grinded that tape today. You know what it felt like? Fighter pilot training. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, man? Those guys have to operate like 17-ton jets thousands of feet in the air and deal with all these different environmental pressures. They're freaking unbelievable. You throw a football or you push the guy in front of you to the ground. And I love football and I'm not trying to minimize it, but enough is enough. It's the nth degree above we go to war, gentlemen. We're warriors out there, right? Like, that's something Dan Campbell would do. Dan Campbell would try to make this comparison.
Mount Carney speak?
Yeah, get me out of there, man. I'm done.
That was great.
The water cooler, James Harden. He's good at basketball. Just ask him. Look out, Goose. Duck. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Well, speaking of your job, like, every now and then you have to do a job performance review. Did you ever have to do that in the NFL?
Well, at the end of the year, you would always have an exit interview with your coach, and they would always ask you, well, what'd you think went well? What'd you think went wrong? Mm-hmm. You would give your answers, and then they would destroy you for the next 30 minutes, and then you would think about it the rest of your offseason about how much your coach thinks that you suck.
Oh, is that really how it went?
That's exactly how it would go.
Oh, God.
Your last conversation every single year was your coach basically telling you all the things that you suck at.
And giving doubt whether they even wanted to have you back.
You're right. That's right.
Like some motivator for you.
Man, if I'm as bad as he said today, there's no chance I'm here next year.
Right. That's pretty brutal, man. Would they ask you, like, how do you think you did?
Oh, yeah. Depending on the guy, not every guy would do that. But some coaches would make it more interactive. Some coaches would kind of speak directly at you. I'll never forget the... What year was Josh McDaniels' first year? Was that 2010 or 9? Whatever year that was.
Nine.
So Rick Dennison was a holdover from the Shanahan staff.
Okay.
He was my offensive line coach with Shanahan. Then he was my offensive line coach with Josh McDaniels.
Okay.
And so
that's interesting.
Right.
He survived that. Okay.
Yes. All right. So we get to the end of the year. I had I'd started like 8 games that year. I did not play very well. I get to the end of the year. I've got my exit interview. Enrico's just got his eyes are all bloodshot. His head, his hair's going everywhere. He won't pick his eyes up and look at me.
Oh, man.
And he's just basically just for 20 minutes just drilling me on all the things that I did wrong this year.
Oh, man.
And the whole time I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking to myself,
what are you doing?
I know he's ripping me right now, but dude, are you okay? Like you look miserable. Something is not right right now. I mean, I'm telling you, his eyes were totally bloodshot, hair's going everywhere. He could barely make eye contact with me. And so either he hated my guts that much or there was something wrong. So after 20 minutes of him just totally belittling me, I finally, the last thing I say to him is I go, Rico, you all right, man? He goes, now for the first time the entire conversation, he picks up his eyes, he looks directly into my eyes, and he goes, no. And I go, what's wrong?
Yeah.
He goes, that's a hard man to coach for.
Oof.
I go, so are you coming back next year or what? He says, nope. So I said, wait, so are you getting fired or are you leaving? He goes, I don't care.
Either way,
lo and behold, he took the job in Houston. Like the next week, he was out of there.
Wow.
I hope he doesn't care that I shared that story, but it's a great story.
That is a great story.
It just goes to show you how miserable everybody in that building was.
So is it a possibility then, based on that story, that he really didn't want to give you as harsh of a review, but he really had no choice because that's what McDaniels is more or less making him do?
Well, maybe. I do know for a fact that Josh McDaniels would tell coaches before practice a specific player that he wanted them to just absolutely drill. So he would pick out before the practice, whether the guy had a good practice or a bad practice, he would tell him, you are going to drill this guy today. And that was just, that was the coaching style.
So bizarre.
But isn't that hilarious? Doesn't make eye contact once until I ask him,
are you
all right, man?
Yeah. Well, maybe he just didn't really want to do it and he had no choice and that was that. And he was, I mean, really, why would he drill you?
Especially if he knew he was leaving. Right.
Unless it was just like he just had to do it.
I don't mean to say he drilled. I've actually got a great relationship with Rico, and I respect the heck out of him. But, it was not like a, boy, you're going to be an 8-year starter in this league type of conversation. That's for sure.
Rico is an interesting dude. He was, he's been in and out of here so many times. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back for some reason. But he was like, there were good days and bad days with that dude.
You know,
there's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
You just weren't sure what was going to be what.
That's a fact.
All right. Well, I didn't even know that story was coming. That was a great story. But James Harden was asked about being a basketball player.
How long you were out and how little experience you have coming back from lengthy layoffs. Are you surprised at how quickly it kind of came back to you when you were back in the flow of things?
Not really. Not to like brag or anything, but I'm like, I'm really good at this game. You know, I studied the game. I'm very unselfish.
The
game and I play it the right way every single night. So I don't try to do anything that I can't do or anything that doesn't benefit our team. And if that mindset right there keeps me in a really good place.
That is how you answer in a job performance review.
Right.
How did you think you did?
Yes. Well,
that is it.
Best year of my life. I think that the show's never been in a better spot.
Right.
I think D-Mac and I are we're in a groove that we've like this
incredible.
Is next level stuff
best
that we've never
ever.
Been to.
Right.
Not to like brag or anything, but I'm like I'm really good at this game.
I wish I was ever that good.
You know what, though? Even if you're not that good, what the hell? I mean, you know, somebody asked you. You know what?
No. If you're not really that good and you answer that, you sound like an absolute idiot.
No.
Not to, like, brag or anything, but I'm, like, really good at this game.
Forget it. I had a program. I've talked about this idiot before, this guy, Mike O'Connor, who told me I'd be better in marketing and promotions and not on the air.
Oof.
And the guy just was...
That was your high school baseball coach guy that said you'll never play it down. Oop, did I just give it away a little bit? Whoops, my bad.
It wasn't my high school. Yeah. My high school baseball coach guy loved me. This was more serious with this dude. This is a dude and like radio guy who was like telling me that that's it. Like my chosen career that I've been working on for like 20 years.
Well, you suck.
Yeah, basically. That's basically what he said. That was like 16 years ago. Little chip on my shoulder. How's that record? Why don't you check that out? Why don't we fact check that one, Mike?
Love it.
But it was like, what do you say when somebody like questions like, my point is, somebody asks you how you're doing, just tell them you're great. You're doing great. Because even if you aren't, at least you got some confidence in yourself.
right.
You know, not to brag.
Not to like... brag or anything, but I'm like I'm really good at this game.
You gotta say, man, to say that you're unselfish, I mean, that is a riot.
Very unselfish.
Who's that? That's next level.
I think I'm a very good person. I think that my teammates love me.
I'm really humble.
I bring out the best in them.
Yeah.
Who would they be without me?
Frankly, I should be your boss.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm the best.
Very unselfish.
Yeah.
I take the game and I play it the right way.
I don't know about the unselfish thing. Who knows? He is really good at basketball. I mean, he's not. I'm not questioning anything he's saying right there. It's just fun to hear somebody actually say it.
Oh, it's great. That's fantastic. I just wish that I ever had that kind of confidence in something.
That is great. Good job, James Harden. All right, the Fan Film Room. We're going to do a version of it a little bit earlier. And then we're going to reflect on the whole thing, you know, after 5 o'clock, give it a little bit room to breathe. But this is kind of a different one. It was late in the season. I think, what are we talking about? Like week 14 or something in December. Although, man, it looks like it was like right in the middle of summer. It was a beautiful day and it was in Carolina. It was absolutely gorgeous. But this was
Denver.
Teddy Bridgewater. Was it in Denver?
No.
I think it was in Carolina.
Carolina.
Pretty sure it was in Carolina.
Dang it.
And when I say I'm pretty sure,
I know what I'm talking about. So when I tell you the location of the game, just you can believe me because I'm pretty good at this job.
Very unselfish.
We'll get to that coming up next.
Welcome to the Fan Film Room. Drew Lock versus Teddy Bridgewater.
I've been an admirer of Teddy Bridgewater for many years.
Ready to break down the film on the Broncos quarterback battle. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Well, it's week 14. We're in Carolina. And this was just a strange game, kind of top to bottom, a tale of two halves. And both teams were kind of just laying a turd out there. And then the magical moment happened. The magical moment that Vic Fangio said he needed to have happen. It was kind of brewing, and it's going to be everything, and this happens.
Now Spencer the other way, and he's got blockers in front. Spencer at midfield, down the sideline, and Deontay Spencer will go the distance. Touchdown, Denver!
I think that was a stink game, was it? Adam Amin, yeah, he's good. Yeah, that had to be a stink game then, because they were partners there. The Broncos at 4-8 were going against the Panthers at 4-8, and that was a stink game.
Wow. Wow. I'm gonna let you handle that one all on your own there, buddy. Hey, whatever shots you want to take, feel free to take them.
I'm just saying that opening weekend in New York, Broncos against the Giants on Fox, I could see Adam and Stink doing that game.
Wow. Goodness.
I got something
unbelievable.
Nice. I got something nice to
talk
say.
Talk about being envious of success.
I got something nice to say about Mark.
You do?
I do, but just remind me about it later because now's not the time. But I actually do have something cool that I found
about
Mark
good.
That he doesn't even know about. All right. So that's how the game starts. Both teams are kind of meh. McManus misses an extra point, doinks it off the left upright. I mean, it's just like, what is happening here? And then the Broncos, I think, get a little lucky. Because they do get a touchdown in the second quarter, Tyler. But it's because the Panthers took like three ridiculous penalties on the drive. Like a hold on a desperate throw that had no chance. A taunting penalty after they had it stopped. I mean, they did like three things that were just dumb. And good for Drew Lock and the Broncos. They took advantage of it.
Yeah, who do you want to start with?
Well, you know, oh, right, because there's both guys.
I mean we're breaking them each down, right?
Well, I said, Drew, let's start with Drew Locke. And, okay. And we can go from there, because he actually had an extraordinary game later on.
Yeah, this was a very interesting game from Drew Locke's perspective. Far and away his best game of the year, not even close. As you break it down, though, there are some interesting trends that start to develop. It was a little bit of a dud in the early goings. And then you got the big touchdown return from Deontay Spencer, got the Broncos on the board. Second quarter, Drew Locke starts to pick it up a little bit. He takes a big hit in empty protection, and he makes a big-time mistake. So he takes a bone-rattling sack that he ends up giving up a fumble.
Yeah.
The Panthers pick it up. They take it all the way down to the 3 or 4 yard right. line, something like that. The problem is, D-Mac, it was empty protection, and in empty protection, quarterbacks have responsibilities.
You got to read
And if your guy hits you, that's on you as a quarterback.
Is that what happened there?
Yes. Okay. He got hit by two guys. One guy was somebody else's responsibility. The other was Drew's. Regardless, he got hit at the exact same time by both guys. It's on you as a quarterback if you get hit. So not only was it on him, but he ends up coughing the ball up. Panthers take it all the way down to the 3 or 4. So it's a bad start for Drew Locke, okay? He picks it up, though. It was a boring first half, but then Locke's got a very nice scoring drive to finish off the half. He delivered 3 or 4 really nice strikes, one to Tim Patrick, I think another to Tim Patrick down there, gets down there into the end zone, delivers another strike, boom, touchdown, on the board, everybody's feeling great, okay? First half, though, overall, really wasn't that great.
Right.
You kind of had a really bad moment, and it was a bunch of boring football. Second half, things start to explode here a little bit. Pat Shurmur really found a groove for Drew Locke in the second half. He starts calling a ton of three-step drops. He lets Drew Locke just take three steps, no hitch, boom, get rid of the ball. No chance of getting hit. And down there in the third quarter, Drew Locke ends up hitting KJ Hamler on a 20, 30-yard strike for a touchdown. KJ Hamler was wide stinking open.
Yeah.
A little bit later, Drew Locke hits Tim Patrick for another big-time gain again. Tim Patrick, wide, stinking, open. This is fascinating now as this game progresses because Drew Locke does have a nice game. But, dude, I've never seen so many mistakes in a secondary. It was like we were watching a college football game, how wide open these wide receivers were. Seriously, it was absolutely crazy. It was plain and simple Drew Locke's best game of the year, and it's not even close. But, you know, you look at the stat line, he had 4 touchdowns, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't take that away. That is a huge day for sure. But he only threw for 280 yards, 21 of 27. So you say, okay, if that's his best game of the year, it's not saying a whole lot, but it was his best game of the year.
And it was a quirky game, too, because like they had a pretty big lead with like 4 minutes to go. And the
Panthers scored 17 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the Panthers scored in 28 seconds after the Broncos go up 32 to 20. They scored in 28 seconds.
Yeah.
And then they do the okey-doke where, oh, it's an onside kick. No, we're going to boot it down. And, oh, all right, that worked. And now the Broncos are starting at the 7-yard line. Still, it's one of those like, we just get a couple first downs. Nope. And the Panthers got the ball with a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
With 2.5 minutes to go. Like, with plenty of time, Broncos defense stepped up and, you know, got things done. But still, it was like, you got to be kidding me here, fellas.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater had 3 quarters of absolute mediocre football at best. It was boring. It was uninspiring. He had a bunch of short, easy throws that didn't really amount to much. I did like what he did a couple times when he saw the middle of the field open up. He took off, scrambled for 14, 15 yards. But then you get in the second half, and Teddy takes a really bad sack. He had a moment that was very similar to Drew Locke. He had all stinking day to throw the ball. And, dude, if you take a sack in that situation, it's on you. Throw the ball away if you get to that point where you've been holding on to it for 4 or 5 seconds. Teddy did what Teddy did over the majority of the year. He moved the team up and down. He got down there in the lower red zone, and he just couldn't finish it off.
Mm-hmm.
In the fourth quarter, he did explode, though, and the Carolina Panthers did explode. They had 17 points in the fourth quarter. Teddy Bridgewater ends up with almost the exact same yardage as Drew Locke. He's got no interceptions. He had 283 yards. He was 30 of 40 on the day. No interceptions, but he had 0 touchdowns. So, if you got to grade this one, well, Drew Lock wins the game.
Okay. Yeah, that first half was, you know, when I'm watching that first half, I was like, wow, this is a bad football game. Like, it was just kind of boring. But there were two exciting plays. There was the Spencer, you know, punt return touchdown, and then there was the Panthers play, too, that, you know, good for the Broncos. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Jerry Jeudy for making a tackle, like, at the 40-yard line.
Yep.
I thought he was maybe going to get, like, a strip fumble there, too. But anyways, but yeah, it did change. I don't know, man. Like, in the game report for this, there's a quote from Drew Lock talking about how he had been discussing the game of football with John Elway about taking chances and being more of a gunslinger and going in that direction. Okay. Like, that's part of the game story. And it is reflected in the second half. I mean, something must have kicked in with Drew, like, what am I doing here? I got nothing to lose. Let's
but would
go.
You agree with me that it was weird how many wide open big plays they had?
Yeah.
I'm talking nobody within 8-9 yards. I'm not going to discredit Drew Lock for putting the ball where he needed to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, he delivered a strike.
Right.
It was just weird how wide open these guys
that's
were.
That's why college quarterbacks put up some crazy numbers, because if you really watch it, these guys are so open. Good for them to put them on. I remember Tebow had a game against Minnesota, and Minnesota had they had the worst corners in the NFL that year, and Tebow destroyed them.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show in the NFL, no matter how critical we are of quarterbacks, it is a really high bar.
Oh, heck
and,
yeah.
And if the defense just isn't playing the right way, any of these quarterbacks could have a day.
Yes.
And that was the day for Drew. So this is what my memory of this game initially was, oh, Drew is like much better than Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
And I guess he was.
Well, he had the 4 touchdown passes. And
Hold on. Breaking news? Breaking news in the middle of fan film room.
Correct.
This has got to be big.
Well, per Adam Schefter, the Broncos have cut offensive tackle Juwan James. So.
Oh.
He's officially been cut.
That was worth interrupting the fan film room? Like.
Well.
Right.
Okay, we'll break down what that probably means here in a second, because I've got some thoughts on what that probably means.
Was there some sort of settlement? Or
no, I think that means they're not paying him a dime.
They had two.
They're cutting him right now, and they're trying to say, nope, we're not settling for anything.
All right, well, let's give ourselves a... Well, that's the end.
That's my guess.
It's the end of fan film room. Well, we'll get back to it at after 5 o'clock and look at the week in total about these guys. All right, so Juwan James has been cut by the Broncos. And, hey, Richie, no details from Schefter about financial settlements or anything like that?
I don't see any at this point, but I'll keep my eyes on it.
Yeah, look at Clist. Yeah, hold on, let me fire.
I'm seeing the release quickly on Juwan James will be a post-June 1st designation, meaning the dead money incurred will be split over this year and next. But I don't see anything about a settlement.
All right, but I'm looking at Clist. Did you just read Clist, or was that?
That was Schefter and Field Yates.
All right, let me read Clist. Per NFL source knowledge of such transactions, speaking of Juwan James being cut, this likely means Broncos are voiding James's $10.58 million guarantee, including the 17th game. No doubt a grievance will be filed on James's behalf.
You know how I knew that, D-Mac? Because I'm really good at what I do. That's how I knew that implied.
I tell you
what. That's like... brag or anything, but I'm like really good at this game.
Well, we'll get the latest from out at Dove Valley with our own Kendall Valenzuela. Plus, what are the details about this particular story? The NFL's watching this very, very carefully. And if you missed the news, Deshaun Hamilton, who the Broncos apparently were close to trading, tore up his knee earlier this morning. We'll get to it. Football at 4 is next.